One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good afternoon. We made it. We are on our last team prospect episode. If you're tired of hearing these, it's okay. We're done. We made it to the Texas Rangers, which have a lot of talent in their farm system. I wanted to get these all done before minor league opening day, which is today. If you're listening to this on Friday, March the 29th, I am Chris Clegg. I'm your host for this show and the founder of the DynastyDugout.com, your one-stop shop for all things minor league baseball. Texas Rangers obviously have a loaded farm system. They're coming off a World Series win. What more could you ask for? They have it really good. If you're a Rangers fan and you're listening, you got it really good. Be thankful that you have such a talented major league team and farm system. I'm very excited to see how this farm system blossoms. Obviously, several of these guys are in the majors right now, and several others are on the cusp of debuting, which makes it a lot of fun. But let's break down these guys, even the ones that are in the major leagues, including Wyatt Langford, who is the top prospect in the majors. I don't think there's any question in my mind that he's the top prospect. And ultimately, now we've seen him in the majors. He made his major league debut yesterday on opening day. He got intentionally walked, which was pretty fun. Langford's a stud. There's no other way to put it. You look at the stuff last year, his collegiate career at Florida was very impressive. I think that the data was off the charts good. And when you look at this, I mean, career at Florida hit 47 homers / 363, 471, 746. Struck out just a 14.6% clip, and he walked 15% of the time across 610 plate appearances. Langford does not chase all that often. He has a strong feel for contact in the zone. He chased 15% at Florida with an 88% zone contact. The EVs were incredible. 91-mile-an-hour average EV, 110-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. And he exploded on the scenes in his pro debut. And he made himself the top prospect for a reason. Between four levels, yes, he played in four levels after debuting last year after the draft. 200 plate appearances. Langford slashed 360, 480, 677. 10 home runs, 29 extra base hits. Underlying data in college carried right over to pro ball. Made contact at a high clip, posting a zone contact rate of 85% and an overall rate of 81. Chase rate was right in line with his college number, and his ninth percentile EV was north of 107 miles an hour. Langford was actually on the taxi squad during the World Series. He was a legitimate candidate to come up during the World Series to replace Adelis Garcia, who had gone down with an injury, and now he has debuted. He has made the opening day roster. Langford is probably a stud from day one, much like this next guy, Evan Carter. The Rangers have given themselves two chances at getting an extra draft pick with the prospect promotion incentive. Carter has always been a high floor player who gets on base at a very high clip, and he made his debut back in 2021 professionally. Most teams actually did not have Evan Carter on their radar during the draft. He was a commit to Duke, and many thought he was going to land there. He had committed with Jordan Walker, which would have made a really fun Duke team if that had worked out, but both got drafted and signed. Rangers took him, Carter, in the second round, and it looks like a steal. You know, he had a very strong minor league career in which he slashed 288, 413, 450, and he earned a call-up last September where he actually mashed in the playoffs and was better than pretty much any stop in college. In the majors, he hit 300 with 5 home runs in 23 games, and that's impressive considering he hit 13 home runs in 108 minor league games prior to debuting. It's a well-rounded skill set. Carter has a good hit tool, good plate approach. Approach is probably his best asset. You look at the contact rates in the minors, 75% overall and 83% in zone. Ultimately, those numbers both were a small step back from 2022 when he had a chase rate of 19%, which was really good, which led to the high OBPs. Very good chase rates his entire career. In the majors, he chased just 9% of pitches out of the zone, which is absurd. And the power, I think the power has been the biggest question mark. You know, last year, average EV of 85.5. The year before, it was 85 miles an hour. So 2 years around 85. In the majors, that number actually took a jump to 89 miles an hour, which is pretty solid. I think that ultimately, you can look at this type profile and think that Carter is one that gets on base at a high clip. He can get to some power. He's young. He's got a frame that you think could fill out and ultimately has some speed as well. I really, really like this profile. Carter obviously is a top 10 prospect in the game. Having two top prospects on your major league roster is a lot of fun. So Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford at the top of this system. Wow. Very blessed farm system. And they have another guy who might take that step up and be one of the top prospects in all of baseball. And that's Sebastian Walcott. You know, Walcott just turned 18. He was 17 all of last year. At the end of the day, Walcott did some really good things. He flashes high-end tools. He went from the DSL all the way to high A in the matter of months. There's plenty of projection on this already impressive frame. You look, and he had a 6'4", 190 frame, and he put up some pretty gaudy EVs. He consistently posted 105 mile an hour EVs, reached 110 miles an hour. Just pretty absurd power for what was a 17-year-old. This kind of profile is one that you want to dream on because of the athlete that he is. You know, you look at the exit velocities for the hitters last year in the minors. Walcott, his average EV was fine at 85. It wasn't all that impressive, but for his age, you know, I mean, he was a standout for his age because the ninth percentile was so good at 106.5. For his age, he had the second highest, only behind Robert Kolas. The contact skills are the biggest question mark here. I mean, he struck out 30% of the time, included 33% rate at the complex. The contact rates were okay. 70% overall, near 80% in zone. Like, those are pretty respectable for a player his age with the kind of talent and upside that he has. I'll bet on Sebastian Walcott all day long. So you have Carter and Langford at the top, and then Sebastian Walcott's a distant third, but you know, top 50 prospect for me. But the next guy I think might can take a step forward and push up to be one of the better pitching prospects in all of baseball is Brock Porter. Porter has a prototypical starter frame, 6'4", 200 pounds. He got an overslot bonus in the fourth round of 2022. If you remember, he was their second pick. The Rangers did not have a pick between the third overall pick of Kumar Rocker and their fourth rounder with Brock Porter. Porter made 21 starts in single A in 2023, and he posted a 2.47 ERA with 95 strikeouts in 69 innings. The walks were a bit concerning. He had 42. But from a pure stuff standpoint, you know, single A hitters just could not compete with what Brock Porter brought to the table. Strikeout rate north of 32%. It's three plus potential pitches, mid-90s fastball, high spinning pitch, high IVB numbers at the top of the zone, missed bats at a high clip. The changeup is Porter's best offering, and when you have a changeup as good as that, single A hitters cannot contest. Sitting low to mid-80s, late movement, he sells it well off the fastball with similar arm speed, throwing at both lefties and righties, gets whiffs from both sides. Porter really began developing the sweeper last year. It sits in a similar velo band to the changeup, but it averaged 15 to 17 inches of sweep regularly. Biggest issue is strike throwing. Porter threw strikes at just a 58% clip last year and walked over 14% of batters that he faced. He will need to show the ability to go deeper into games and command his pitches a little better, but the stuff is really, really good. A couple other names that are borderline top 100 overall prospects for me, and Abimelech Ortiz and Justin Foscue. Let's talk Ortiz because I think Ortiz is probably a bit undervalued when we talk about power hitting first baseman. He matched 33 homers last year while slashing 290, 363, 624. The power is legit. It's backed up by a 90-mile-an-hour average EV and a 90th percentile north of 106 miles an hour. He hits the ball to all fields well, has ideal launch angles, had a sweet spot percentage of 40%, which is very high. For a player of Ortiz's size, you probably don't expect good contact. 70% overall, and in zone north of 78%, really good. And he actually chases a better than league average clip at 29%. Ortiz does swing often, and seeing it in person, he did get eaten up by some breaking balls. But for the most part, the aggressive swing worked because he hit home runs and he put up big exit velocities. Everybody kind of oohs and ahs over players like Xavier Isaac and Lazaro Montes, but Ortiz is pretty sneaking good. I mean, you look, he doesn't get the love that he deserves. I think Abimelech Ortiz, if he performs at this level in AA, then, all right, now we're really talking. But this next guy feels like he's blocked. Justin Foscue gets the Michael Busch treatment in the Rangers org. He's a consistently solid performer. He has been good at pretty much every stop and still just gets undervalued. The underlying data on Foscue is really good. But at the end of the day, he just can't carve out a role. And it really looked like that Foscue was going to be or get a chance to play first base with the major league team. Well, the team signed Jared Walsh, which really sucks, but Jared Walsh kind of took that spot from Foscue. Foscue's played all over the board, second base, outfield, first base. He has been good year over year. His career pro slash line, 276, 380, 499. Hits for some power, steals bases at a decent clip. The underlying data is really good, and the contact skills are especially good. 82% overall contact, 91% in zone contact, doesn't chase. 24% chase rate's really low. Foscue's kind of a sum of the parts player with a very high floor to hit. He hits the ball at ideal launch angles. He makes the most of his power. He's not a superstar type player, but sneaky OBP type asset for fantasy leagues who just needs a chance to play. I don't know if he gets the shot. We shall see, but I am pretty intrigued by Foscue if he gets the chance. That's the thing. He's got to find playing time, and I'm not sure that he'll get that. Another young guy, Echedri Vargas, 18-year-old middle infielder. You know, Walcott was not the only international player to break out in the system because Vargas absolutely dominated the complex level. He had 11 home runs, excuse me. He stole 17 bases while slashing 315, 387, 569. Vargas is a smaller player, but he has a pretty powerful stroke from the right side, generating a ton of extra base hits, and he showed some good over-the-fence power last year. He does put a lot of effort in the swing. He has a big leg kick, but the underlying data is good. The contact skills are respectable, and he has good power speed. Vargas is one that I'm watching out very closely for this year. He'll be in single A to begin the year. I think that Vargas might just pop off, be a 2020-type player, and could be a lot of fun and soar up boards. So watch out for Chedry Vargas, one of my favorite prospect breakouts in the system. Keep going down the list, and we've got some arms outside of Brock Porter to talk about. At the end of the day, you know, I think that Jack Leiter has been surpassed by some people. Definitely Brock Porter, but Jack Leiter I'm going to talk about here, but I think there's another arm after him that might have passed him as well. Leiter was one of the most storied MLB draft prospects in recent years, being the son of Al, having a very successful collegiate career at Vanderbilt. He was sent straight to AA after being drafted, which, did this hurt him? Might have. You know, he returned with new refined command last year mechanics after he went to the development list because it was bad before. And down the stretch, the results were better, posted a 4.12 ERA across 19 innings with 29 strikeouts and 6 walks. But Leiter, you also, ultimately, the stuff is probably not as good as was advertised at Vanderbilt. Fastball was a huge IVB pitch. It is one that, you know, it was 18 to 20 inches at Vanderbilt. It's definitely not that. It's still a good fastball. He touches 99, sitting mid-90s, top of the zone, a lot of carry. Leiter gets plenty of swings under that pitch. Slider sits mid-80s with late biting action. It's the best secondary pitch. The curveball lags behind. And he does throw a changeup on occasion. But Leiter really has two good pitches in the fastball and slider. He can get away with not having more, but it would be nice to see him further develop the changeup or throw the curve a little more often. I'm interested to see what Leiter does this year because when he came back from the development list, his strike rate was at 60% with a 15% walk rate. After returning, while being a small sample, it was a 65% strike rate, and the walk rate was cut in half, just to 7.2%. If those changes stick and Leiter develops a third pitch, the stock's going to rise. I think if you want Jack Leiter, there's never been a better time to invest than right now. His Leiter could take off. It could go the wrong way, but I don't think he's going to cost you all that much in a dynasty trade if you want a share of Jack Leiter. But here's the name that I do think is going to surpass him. That's Jose Corniel. Corniel might prove to be the best pitching prospect in the Rangers system. He originally signed way back in 2019 for $630,000. He was traded to the Rangers in 2020 in the Rafael Montero deal. He's improved his innings and built up the innings he's thrown each year. And in 2023, he broke out in a major way. Posted a 2.98 ERA across 101 innings. The majority of the starts coming in high A. And across those innings, he struck out 119 batters, walked just 31, while posting a strike rate north of 67%. Fastball plays very well at the top of the strike zone, sitting 94 to 95 with carry and arm side run. The sweeper sits in the mid-80s with over 10 inches of sweeping action regularly. It's a plus pitch. He's comfortable throwing it to righties and lefties. He throws a high-spinning curveball, which gets whiffs. And it shows an impressive two-plane break. Corniel did add a two-seamer this year, which he works down in the zone to get ground balls. He'll mix a changeup to lefties with late break. The arsenal is really strong here. The strike throwing was improved last year. Corniel might have the chance to be a very solid starter long-term, and I'm not sure the hype has caught up yet. Now is the time to invest because Corniel hits the higher levels. He performs. His stock is going to soar. Kumar Rocker is another one who is interesting. Obviously, he is missing time because he had another injury, had Tommy John in May of 2023. One of the more storied draftees, much like Leiter, he's been a well-known name in draft circles for some time. He had a very successful career at Vandy. He was taken 10th overall in 2021 by the Mets. Medicals led him not to sign. Spent 2022 in indie ball. And the Rangers saw enough to underslot him with a third overall pick. It led them to get Brock Porter, but third overall pick for Rocker was pretty interesting. When healthy, there's good stuff. Mid-90s fastball, command has been inconsistent. But when he's on, he misses bats with it, utilizes a sinker at times. He throws a slider with two-plane break. Good pitch, gets some depth and sweep. Low to mid-80s, the changeup. Solid offering, but one that he does not throw very often. At the end of the day for Rocker, what does the arsenal look like coming back from TJ? Can he throw enough strikes, and can he stay healthy? Those questions all need to be answered for me to get excited again about Kumar Rocker.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
A couple of electric type players coming out of the break here. Emiliano Teodo is a ton of fun, and I think he might just be the Rangers' closer in the future. They've been developing him as a starter. He was probably the most electric arm I saw last year in the minors, and I saw a lot of good arms. As a starter, he posted a 4.52 ERA across 61 innings last year, but he struck out 84. He converted to just a reliever in the fall league. He pitched 11 innings out of the bullpen. He did not allow a run until the Fall Stars game, and he struck out 19 while walking just 5. Teodo has an explosive fastball, clocked at 101 miles an hour. It regularly sits around triple digits. It's a sinker with a lot of bore to it, runs it in on righties. It's incredibly hard to hit when you pair it with the kind of velocity that he has. He throws a changeup that's been up to 94, but he can also dial it back to the high 80s. The mid to upper 80s slider gets excellent sweeping action, gets on hitters pretty quickly. The stuff is pretty insane, and you would love to see him get the chance to be a starter, but if the AFL's any indication, Teodo could be a closer. Speaking of electric, I think Paulino Santana could be exactly that. Santana has 5-tool upside, and he's a highly projectable frame. It's a hit-tool-first approach, but he does have power and speed. He takes walks. He makes a lot of contact on pitches in the zone. The clock times have been plus with Santana. He's 17 with a 6'2", 180 frame. He's also reportedly a strong center fielder. The power is already coming into the profile at 17. With the impressive frame, as I mentioned, he picks up spin well. Santana has reportedly been a 5-tool type player. I am very excited to see what Paulino Santana can do this year as we see him probably in the DSL. I think that he could be one that really takes off. If there's anybody I'm investing heavily in this year's international class, it's Paulino Santana. Obviously Leo DeVries, but very excited about Paulino Santana in this system. Keep going down the list here, and there is a lot of talent. Dustin Harris went from kind of hyped to not hyped. I guess he really wasn't hyped at all out of the draft. 11th rounder out of Oakland, traded to Texas for a player to be named later. And he came out of the pandemic and was absolutely incredible in 2021. 2023 season saw him split time between double and triple A. And after a slow start, you know, he was pretty good. He slashed 259, 378, 431 with 14 homers and 41 stolen bases. The power and exit velocities are probably below average. You know, the ninth percentile was 100 miles an hour, which is certainly below average. And the 84 mile an hour average EV, below average as well. The good news is the contact skills are really good and they make up for it. Harris made contact on 75% of pitches and nearly 88% of pitches in the zone. Their speed in the profile too, 94 stolen bases across 380 career games, caught just 19 times. It's an interesting profile from a first base corner outfield type, but unique is never bad. If Harris can tap into more power, then we're kind of cooking with something here with a high OBP power speed type bat. I think he's a points league darling if he can find the time in the majors. Anthony Gutierrez is one that I'm really excited to watch out for this year. Gutierrez, I'll get some looks at pretty early on in the season. He is a 19-year-old outfielder with a projectable 6'3" frame. He got the largest bonus in the 2022 international class for the Rangers. He was very dominant in the DSL, and he was pretty young in 2018 and was assigned to single A. There were some struggles, but at the end of the day, he did miss time due to injuries, and you have to wonder if he spent a lot of the year injured. Highly aggressive approach, Gutierrez does chase a lot, but his zone contact kind of balances it out some. So despite the chase rates, the end zone contact is pretty good. He will need to be more selective as he moves up levels, or he's going to be exploited by better pitching. So the high A assignment is going to be one that will be really fun to see how he handles it. The power is below average right now, but you look at the frame, and Gutierrez certainly could tap into more. Owen White, right-handed pitcher, he's been injury-riddled most of his career, but when he's on the mound and healthy, he looks pretty good. He broke out in 2022, and he pitched a career-high 112 innings in 2023, and he even made a start in the majors. The results weren't there, as White did walk more batters, and the stuff ticked back. He's known for solid control, but he did throw strikes at just a 60% clip. He was dealing with some injury issues, which I think had an effect on that. Fastball went from sitting mid-90s in 2022 to down to 92, 93 in 2023. I think this had to do with the shoulder issues. He began throwing the sweeper more, which got good results. He throws a curveball with a good two-plane break. So at the end of the day, White is one that I think, if healthy, could be back on the mound and doing some good things. The biggest hurdle is the health with him. He has never stayed healthy. An arm I am very excited about, however, this year is Aiden Curry, who was very under the radar last year, but really good. He was an undrafted free agent in 2020. Tall, 6'5", projectable arm. He was moved slowly through the system, but really building up the innings in 2021 and 2022. Curry took off, spending the 2023 season between single A and high A, where he combined for a 2.75 ERA across 88 innings with 104 strikeouts and his 39 walks. Fastball currently ranges from 92 to 94 during starts, but can get up to 96. Plays up due to the extension from the tall frame. It generates a lot of carry up in the zone, and he gets some good arm side movement with it. Slider plays as a plus pitch, sitting in the low 80s with two-plane break. Shows lots of depth and sweep, and he gets chase and whiffs on the pitch consistently. The changeup is more consistent, but it shows late fade and tumble, which plays very well against lefties. Curry throws strikes at a league average rate, which is pretty encouraging, even though he walked near 11% of batters last year. 17 of his 21 starts did see him allow two walks or less. Curry's development will be huge this year. I think he could be one that breaks out in a major way. Another potential breakout, Cameron Colley. Colley was the Rangers' third-round selection in the 2021 draft. He received an overslot bonus of $1 million, and he moves exceptionally well on the base pass in the field. Stole bases at a high clip, being just caught 5 times in 41 attempts last year. He has a smaller frame, but he actually put up some decent power. Had a 89 mile an hour average EV, which is close to MLB average. And he hit 12 home runs in 2023 with 34 extra base hits in 100 games. Contact rates are concerning, though. 65% overall contact and 74% end zone contact. The approach and the swing and miss will need to improve as Colley moves up the system, but I do think that he could be an intriguing player. Aaron Zavala, a blast from the past, second rounder out of Oregon, who saw his stock soar. But injuries, unfortunately, have kind of hampered him a bit and hurt his stock a bit. I think that his 2023 season was definitely due to injury, but we'll know more this year. After a big 2022, in which he posted a 420 OBP with 16 homers and 14 stolen bases, a torn UCL limited him in 2023, and the results just weren't there. Zavala's passive hitter, he gets on base at a high clip, but he saw the contact rate actually take a step back to 70% in 2023, and that was a 6 percentage point drop from 2022. I do think the UCL might have factored in here. The exit velocities regressed also. The home run output was not there in a hitter-friendly Texas league. You'd like to see a little more, but maybe we see Zavala get back healthy and put it together for 2024. Josh Steffen was an arm that, honestly, I wasn't familiar with until I saw him early last year. He was another one of the undrafted free agents in 2020, like Aiden Curry, who the Rangers seemed to hit on. He's a 6'3" righty. He had a really strong year in 2023. Posted a 2.17 ERA across 62 single or high innings before getting the bump to Double A, which where unfortunately he made just one start before having a season-ending injury. He's a command control specialist who throws strikes at a high clip, registering a 67% strike rate last year, which is a very high number and is very encouraging at that. And the fastball sits 92-94, topping at 94 pretty rarely, but mostly 91-92s on the radar gun. Has a flat shape and a tough approach angle. I mean, he's got some decent arm side run at times. Slider is Steffen's best pitch, though. Two-plane break sits anywhere from 81 to 84 with high spin rates. He used the slider more than the fastball in my live looks, willing to work backwards in counts. Throws a changeup, average or better, 85 to 87 range. He sells it well. Excellent fading action. The plus strike throwing ability gives Steffen a pretty high floor to be a starter long term, and you would love to see the velocity tick up. But even if not, the location and the command of his pitches is really, really good. Another arm that is command guy, Mitch Brott. He's a 20-year-old lefty who I've now seen several times, but probably best known for the World Baseball Classic, but facing Team USA and knocking out the first inning. Not an easy task, though, for a 19-year-old being put in that spot, but Brott did not let that discourage him. He put together a really good year last year in High A Hickory, 3.54 ERA across 61 innings with 73 strikeouts and just 17 walks. He's another low 90s fastball guy that locates it very well, throws strikes at a high clip. And the fastball, you know, is actually a pretty good pitch considering the amount of strikes and the location of it. He mixes in a slider with late breaking action, throws it to both sides of the plate, gets hitters to chase. He'll also throw it in the zone. Changeup has some good tendencies, gets some ground balls. But considering Brott's young, he'll spend this year as a 20-year-old. I think there's still a chance that he takes a step forward velo-wise and potentially stuff-wise. You know, he's always relied on the location and strike throwing, but if Brott can see the stuff take a step forward, all of a sudden, I'm really intrigued. So some arms to be excited about here, but what about a couple of younger bats? Yason Morabell is one that I picked to break out last year, but he did spend a lot of the season banged up. His season ended in June due to injury. But he had a really solid performance at the complex in 2022. He put up some really good exit velocities and data across the board. It's a good feel for contact. He's posted above average contact rates in 2022 and 2023. Patient hitter, doesn't chase off the zone that often. He walked at a good clip last year. The biggest question is the power, which I think he can get to. Good frame. He's put up some good EVs in the past. I think there's 20 home run juice in this bat, and Morabell will be one that I'm excited to get a live look at this year that I think could be quite intriguing. Much like this next guy, Yeremy Cabrera. Yeremy Cabrera signed for just $10,000 back in 2022, and he may end up being an absolute steal. Cabrera has really good stuff. You know, last year, put up some really good numbers in the DSL, hit 330 while hitting 7 home runs and made up a ton of extra base hits. So those were pretty encouraging to see from him. He did not strike out all that often. He walked at a very high clip. He walked more than he struck out, actually, which is encouraging. He lifted the ball, hit a ton of line drives. Cabrera, to me, looks like a type of player that's a bit undersized, but he has quick hands. He keeps the barrel in the zone a long time. He hits all pitch types. He doesn't chase out of the zone very often. Strong athlete who runs well. Cabrera might be in for a big year in 2024, and nobody's really talking about him. So watch out for Cabrera. As this guy, Braylon Morrell, another young player who just turned 18 in January. We saw Morrell put up some really good numbers in the DSL. He hit 7 home runs and steal 2 bags while slashing 344, 417, 644. So Braylon Morrell is a fun player who does a lot of things well. He stole 2 bases. He walked at a good clip. He did show some strikeouts, but you know, at the end of the day, the performance I thought was really good. So a lot of these young guys that could really pop off, and you know, I think Pablo Guerrero might be that guy that takes a step forward this year. Guerrero is obviously Vlad's younger brother. He's still very young. He'll be 17 until the end of July. We saw him in the DSL last year, and the results were fine. Whether he's in the DSL another year or not, I'm not sure. But again, it wouldn't shock me considering he'll be 17 until July 31st. He put up some power numbers. He walked at a high clip. He had a 361 OBP. So Guerrero is fine, but I think there's the chance that Pablo Guerrero could take that step forward. Much like Daniel Cueva, they've got a ton of young guys as we keep going down the list. Cueva, 19-year-old, middle infielder, good frame. He was in single A last year, and the results weren't like overwhelming, but I think there's more here with Cueva than we've yet to see. He put up a pretty disappointing slash of 226, 273, 318. But as I said, I think there's much more to like here about Cueva as he put up some decent numbers in the past and the data is all right. So I would keep a close eye on Daniel Cueva as one that could kind of take a step forward in the system. I also still really like Alejandro Ozuna. He's one that I got some good looks at last year that showed some good things. Gleyber Figueroa, another one that I saw. But the one I really like the most of these might be Marcos Torres. He has got a great frame, 6'3", 160, so a lot of projection this frame. He was really good at the complex last year in which he hit 7 homers, stole 23 bags, put up a 250, 378, 494 slash, which is pretty impressive. He went to single A for 10 games. The results weren't as good there, but I think Marcos Torres is the one, the sleeper, to keep an eye on the system. A couple others to watch. Tommy Specht, a 19-year-old outfielder. I still like Max Acosta. He was all the buzz when he signed internationally, but Acosta did some good things last year. Julian Brock, a 22-year-old catcher who was drafted last year out of Louisiana. He's a fun type player too. So at the end of the day, I love this system. What a great one to end and wrap up on. The Rangers have a ton of talent. They do exceptionally well on the international side of things, and I am pumped to be able to see more of these guys. I will be getting the Rangers single A affiliate pretty close to me starting in 2025, which is awesome. And I'll see Hickory a lot this year, so I'll get a lot of looks at the high A guys too. But that's going to wrap us up. All 30 teams, we made it. Mama, we made it. We made it to the end. It's time for minor league opening day. Let's go watch some minor league ball. Take care. Have a great day. Spread kindness to everybody around you and enjoy the baseball.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.